Good morning. Before I start, there's a few things I'd like to say. That is, once again, thank you for your generosity. And just so you know, you're the only church I've ever done this to. I thought you might like to know, we're going to use those gifts towards our 30th wedding anniversary. That helps free us up. It does involve a timeshare pitch, and it's going to cost us $300, but every meal will be provided 4 nights, 5 days at Cancun. So I think we can put up with that. another praise is there was 14 youth at our last youth meeting. And so praise the Lord for the work that's going on there. And then want to encourage any of our other youth. And if you need a ride, we'll give you one. So let us know. Put the word out. It's been a delight to see how they're engaging, and the dialogue around Jesus Christ and purposes of our life. Well, this morning, I've decided to talk about learning to wait on God. When we're excited for something, we'll often hear people say, "I can't wait." And yet on the flip side, the one thing that can trigger a very anxious spirit is when we find out we're going to have to wait. And sometimes it just never seems to fail when we're trying to go to press towards some goal that something seems to be holding us back. We get in a hurry, and there's some kind of delay. It can be that guy that we come up driving upon doing 30 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. Or it can be just the opposite. We're doing the speed limit and someone's riding our tail. About a month ago, my son and I were headed towards a pastor's conference. And he went in his vehicle, went mine. We left from my house here in Beach Park. And we left at the exact same time. And when we get to Sunset, okay, I'm coming down Green Bay and Sunset, he's parked at the light, and I know what he's going to do. He's going to go all the way down to Washington Street. Well, I pull up to the right of him, and I greet him with a big smile. You see, we've had this discussion before on which way's the fastest, and now's my chance. And I know he's going to be putzing along 30 miles an hour, and I'm going to be zooming at 45. And so I just kind of grinned. He understood what I meant. See you there. So I'm zooming along at 45 miles an hour. I get down Sunset. I take a left on Delaney, and I almost have to stop in the intersection because they're doing construction during the morning rush hour. I hope you don't think less of your pastor, but I did kind of go, "Oh!" But the truth is, we don't like to wait. And to some degree, modern technology has spoiled us because we have everything. We can access so much information quickly. We've even given it the title, instant messaging. And we can get so many things, almost brought and delivered to us, where they're experimenting with even bringing pizza to our homes. Anyone know by what? Drones. On the one hand, it's a wonderful thing to be able to redeem the time. And yet on the other hand, we've become spoiled. One of the things that adds stress to waiting is we often find ourselves being pressed for time. Limited lunch hour. We want to go get something. We didn't have our lunch. We go into the drive-up only to find out it would have been faster if we would have walked in. Then there's the customer orders, like at a factory, in which we have to meet a deadline because if we don't get it to them at this certain date, the product won't do them any good. We have become conditioned to be in a rush. Now, but in light of God's word, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful because some of the greatest blessings, and I'm going to say this, some of the number one greatest blessings that can come in our life is when we have learned to wait on God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 says, "Yet those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary." Just this week, as I'm thinking about this and I'm working on this sermon, someone in our church was telling me how things are just have become so overbearing for her at work. They've needed to hire someone full-time for a while, but they haven't. And she's going through the grind of this extra load on her shoulders. And no doubt she's been praying for some relief. But it wasn't coming. And so she's starting to lose some hope. She's even wrestled with some thoughts of maybe quitting. With the workload being the way it was, she was not able to help others. Or shall I say, there are others who depend on her and this work environment. And it's not fair to them, and so she's dealing with feeling bad about that. Well, it so happens she ends up bumping into someone, I think it was in the morning, someone who's a part of the hiring process. And this person says to her, "Did you hear the good news?" She says, "No." He says, "We are hiring someone full time." Now, what are the chances of the one who's carrying the biggest burden out of this is the one who gets the information first? She said when she heard that news, she couldn't help but clap. And when she did it, she went like this. Made me think, you know how you see a child? Just glee. But then she said something else. She said, then the tears began to flow. Tears began to flow. You see, it wasn't just help. It was relief. Waiting on God can sometimes be difficult. But what we need to keep in mind is although it may not seem like he's at work on our behalf, he is at work on your behalf. We need to keep in mind that though we've been praying long, God is hearing your prayers. It's just that there are some things that need to fall in place first that are of utmost importance. But when it finally comes, like it did for her, as the scripture says, you find your strength renewed. We find it's true that there is such a place where we feel like we're mounting up with wings as eagles and nothing's going to stop us. Learning to wait on God can be a grueling thing, but it's a very important part of our growth process with God. Please hear me on this. One of the reasons why God will often allow things to be very difficult in our life is because during those times, that is when we develop character in a way where without that, we never would. Why is that character so important? It's because God knows if you don't have that character for that job that he has for you in the future, the chances could be very good that you'll end up losing that job. How many times have we seen someone who had the qualifications with some master's degree but didn't have the character lose their job? Right now I'm thinking of several teachers. They did not have character as they interacted with some students in a way they shouldn't. And they're out of a job and will never be able to be a teacher again. Do you hear me? This is why it's so important that whatever it is you might be going through, that you learn to endure it, accept it. God is trying to protect you. How many times have we heard of politicians? They make it to the top, but they don't have the character and they have to be removed. Makes me think of a story I heard of a snail climbing up this apple tree. And he's hoping to get to the apples. And on his way up, a worm sticks its head out of a hole and says to the snail, "You don't want to go up there. There's no ripe apples." And the snail says, "There will be by the time I get up there." And that's true of us. We need to understand that there are times where God says, a part of the reason why I'm going through, having you go through this process is because I am ripening you so that when the time comes, you'll be ready. A part of the reason why God is allowing this isn't just for our character, but he's developing our character during this time, and he's not letting us get to that place where we're hoping to get because the time isn't ripe for them, for us to be there. We need to learn to wait on God and trust. When things don't come with the immediacy in which we're hoping, God is at work. Amen? There are times when God is allowing something to last a long time because God knows that if we just got the quick answer or the quick out, we would forget the lesson. Look at the Israelites. 40 years, and it seemed like they just had, God just kept putting them in a circle after circle after circle because they weren't learning the lesson. I encourage you, if you have a journal, that you make sure that you write down in your journal the lessons that God is trying to teach you, that you don't forget them. It's important that we learn to endure, because the lessons that we are learning, do you know what they become? They literally become stepping stones of faith. During that hard time, that gruel situation, and you're grinding it out, your faith begins to become strong. It becomes wider. It becomes deeper. And you end up climbing another stepping stone of faith until finally we find ourselves at that platform or that place where God has been wanting to bring us. And because we were willing to go through that hard ordeal, now we're at a place in our life where we can accomplish bigger and better things. And not only for our benefit, oh, please hear me on this, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us, and sometimes, you know who they are? Our children. Our children. One of the things that creates a community of faith, whether it be in a church or your personal family, is when those who are tested pass the test. And sometimes passing the test only comes by learning to wait on God. And our passing the test often helps our children inherit faith. Versus some who don't seem quite to be able to grab a hold of it, though we taught them the faith. If our children end up seeing us blessed because of our waiting on God, that's going to have a profound effect on them. Good example of this would be, let's say, comes from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. Here's the context. We've got King Saul with the armies drawn up on Israel's army on one side, the Philistines on the other, and they're about ready to get engaged in battle. Before they do, the prophet Samuel says we need to offer up a sacrifice. But the problem is Samuel doesn't show up right away. And Saul knew it would be a little bit of time. But while King Saul is waiting for the prophet Samuel, some of the people begin to panic, and they leave. Some begin to scatter. So to stop this, he panics. And what he does is he decides, I'll be the prophet. I'll make the sacrifice. So he makes the sacrifice. And as soon as he's finished with the sacrifice, guess who shows up? Samuel, the prophet. And this is what he says to him. Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom forever over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not endure. You see, not only did Saul end up losing the kingdom for himself, but he lost what would have been his children's inheritance. Why? Because he did not wait on the Lord. And you know what's really sad about this? If he had only waited perhaps another hour or maybe another two, he would have lost nothing. Doesn't it make you wonder just how many times, maybe even cause you to question yourself, maybe how many times you might have lost something that was meant to be a huge spiritual blessing, but you didn't wait on God? There would have been a blessing for not only Saul, but his children if he would have just endured for maybe just one or two more hours. Sometimes Christians, as they get towards the end of their life, need to remember to keep this lesson in mind, to always wait on God. I have a situation, not here, but out of state, where sporadically this woman calls me for counsel. She's been through a divorce. She's tired of the battles. He has unfairly gotten the upper hand sometimes by pure deceit and gotten away with it. But I told her, you just keep waiting on God. His behavior will catch up with him. You may not get financially as far ahead as you hope, but you'll be just fine. You just keep doing what you know God would have you do. This last Tuesday, she has another court hearing. And he shows up in a prison outfit in handcuffs. I think she's learning to wait on God. We need to just keep waiting on God. And yet I had to warn her about this other area where you're not waiting on God. I said to her, you need to be careful. You see, what had happened was she had gone to a high school reunion. While she was at the high school reunion, she met up with some guys. And one of them let her know how he wanted to date her when they were in high school. And so she's excited, she's enamored, now that she's single again, she's going to be able to date. On the one hand, I don't blame her for wanting to be loved, right? Everyone should be able to have a second chance. But I said to her, you need to be careful, you need to remember the lesson. You did not marry a good Christian man the first time. And if you're not careful, you're going to have this whole situation in life recycle again and take you down. You need to wait on God. If God wants you to have a good man, do you think it's going to be a difficult thing for him to bring one across your path? And I said, there's something else here going on that's just as important. Your children are watching you. I said, the example that you set increases the chances of the one they're going to follow. If they see you waiting on God, and then God blesses you because you waited on him, that will help increase their own faith to be able to wait on God. I said, do you remember Isaac, Rebekah? They had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Remember how the scripture says that Esau went after what type of woman? Anyone remember? Canaanites, idol worshipers. How it brought pain and sorrow to their parents. How it broke their hearts. How it just kept bringing sorrow upon sorrow. I said to her, you don't want to one day look back and say to yourself, I am the one who contributed to my children not waiting on God for a good Christian spouse. Our waiting on God is meant to help become a reward in blessing our children with faith so that they too learn to wait on God so that God can bless them. One example of waiting on God, our example of waiting on God, and they seeing him bless us is meant to be a part of what causes them to naturally inherit our faith. And it's often the difference between some parents who teach faith versus others who instill it. Some are able to instill it in their children because their children saw them live it out when they waited on God. They witnessed it, and they witnessed the hand of God blessing them because of their faithfulness. Another reason why it's important to wait on God is because not only is it important to pass the test, as in pass the tests, and that those tests become stepping stones that increase our faith, that will accomplish bigger and better things, but it also, with that, increases your peace. Please hear me on this. When you pass a test and you go up another level of a stepping stone of faith and up another one and up another one, with it, your peace begins to also increase. And the reason why is because every time you're going up another stepping stone of faith, it increases your confidence with each storm that comes in your life. Where after a while, when a problem comes, you just kind of automatically have this sense of everything's going to be okay. That's a great place to be in life. And what God wants to rule your life, his peace. For that is what God's about. He's a God of peace. John 14:27, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be fearful." So many of God's people aren't there. Their life is not a life in which peace rules their lives, but fear. All of us are supposed to reach a point in our Christian walk with God where calmness begins to rule our hearts instead of fear. Many people, as they walk through life, seem to have this never-ending shadow of doubt of the what if, what if, what if. A never-ending shadow of fear ruling their spirit. And that's not what our lives are supposed to be about. When John the Baptist's father's tongue was finally loosed, I'm sure many of you remember that story, when they asked John, "What shall we name your son?" When they asked Zechariah, "What shall we name your son?" And he said, "John." And then he began to prophesy. And one of the things he prophesied in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, was about something coming that's going to be like the rising sun that's going to come to us from heaven, that's going to shine on those living in darkness, who are living in the shadow of death, and what's going to happen is they're going to have their feet guided down a path of peace. Our feet will be guided towards that path if we will learn to pass the test of waiting on God. That is one of the end results. When peace rules our spirit, you know what else it does? When peace begins to rule our spirit, we are enabled to be able to hear much better the voice of God. Why? Because when peace rules, it causes all these whirlwind of emotions to begin to become settled down, where instead of hearing the what ifs, instead of hearing fear, we can hear God's voice. This reminds me of a true story told by Adrian Rogers. He's one of my favorite ministers. But he shares how there was this man during the Great Depression walking the city looking for a job, and he came across a sign that was advertising telegraph operator needed. And I know that's probably most before every one of our time, but a telegraph operator back then was how they used to communicate over the wires with this lever they would tap down, dot, dot, dash, dash, dot, dot. Well, he ends up going into this building because that's his forte, that's his specialty, telegraph operator. But when he walks in, his heart sinks because the room is packed. No doubt thinking to himself things like, the chances are good some will be hired even before I even get a chance for an interview. But he settles his emotions down, he sits down, and he waits. And while he's in this room with all these other people waiting, you can, of course, hear this dot, 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 dash, dot, 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 dash, dot, 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 dash. And after a while, he gets up, uninvited, and just walks right into one of these offices that's doing this. He comes out a short while later with this big smile, and he says, I've got the job. Of course, the people are wondering, how did you get the job when we were here long before you? And he said, while we were waiting, that dot, 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 dash, dash, dot, dot, dot was a message. It said, if you can understand this, come in, you have the job. When you hear that, yeah, that's our guy. That's the way he works, you know. But I think, gee, I wonder how many times there's been something like that in our lives, and maybe we missed hearing the voice of God because we allowed our heart to sink instead of exercising faith. Not perhaps hearing the voice of God because we let our emotions clutter our spirit so that we weren't able to just be still and know that our God is God. Oh, how we have to be careful that we do not let others distract us, including some of those who might be in front of us in our own life for something that we might be hoping for. Don't let our hearts sing. Exercise faith, and you will find you will be able to hear the voice of God. Learning to wait on God, and this will be my last point, learning to wait on God can often be the difference between life and death, literally. Can you think of any example in the Bible where they just kept plugging away, waiting on God, many years pass, and it saved their lives? Noah. Imagine with me, if you would, 25 years pass, and some of the people can't help but want to ask some questions. Can you tell me again, what is this all about? You know, you building this boat? Nothing happens. Another 25 years pass. He's still doing the same thing. He's cutting down trees. He's hewing out planks. He's creating beams. He's building cages. He's building rooms. It's not just for the animals, but some storeroom for food. He's taking pitch, what we might refer to as tar, and he's trying to seal up the cracks. 75 years go by, and people have to think he's nuts. 75 years go by, and you think the end of the world is coming. How many more years have to go by before you'll understand you're off your rocker? 100 years pass. By this time, I'm sure some are just trying to tell him, give it up. Give it up. A part of the reason why people think he's off his rocker or crazy, if what some surmise is true, is because in Noah's time, there's a good possibility there never was rain. Isn't that an interesting thought? The Bible tells us that, you know, the sun would rise, that would cause the water to vaporize, then it would vaporize, and then it would come back down, and that's how it would water the land. And so in some of these people's mind, this thought of rain coming out of the sky, this is bizarre. Let me get this straight, Noah. Are you trying to tell me there's kind of like a pond up there that's going to rain on us? You're crazy. There are times when in the eyes of the world, we look absolutely crazy. But we need to keep on doing what God says. Like Noah, who kept building the ark, because when the flood of God's judgment comes, we, like Noah, will find refuge in the ark of our covenant called Jesus Christ, who will not allow our sins to sweep us away and drown us. That's why when those around us cheat and they're getting ahead and we won't, is because like Noah, we want to keep our ark intact. As in, keep our relationship with Jesus Christ right. It's why we tell the world to live promiscuous, as in sex outside of marriage is wrong and they think we're crazy. We know God's ways are better. We wait on God because we know with it will come a blessing. We repent from having maybe lived together. It means that, yes, we believe fornication is wrong. We believe adultery is wrong, unlike some communities, where I forget what they call it, but basically trading partners. It's wrong. It's a serious sin with God. That's why we believe homosexuality is wrong, why we believe abortion is wrong. They're all various, very serious sins with God, and these are all going to be a part of what is going to bring the judgment of God on our nation. And when it comes, we want to make sure that we are in the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? Can I interject the thought here? Really off the cuff. I'm hesitant to share it with you because it's not something I think everyone can readily receive. But remember when I shared with you about 5 years ago when Katrina hit, that was the strongest hurricane that caused the most, you know, damage than any hurricane before that. And I shared with you, I said, Lord, are these kinds of things your judgment? Or is it just we're in a fallen world? And I really wanted to know. And so I did something which up to that point I never did. I'd done fasting, but I went on a 5-day water fast. Dear God, I really want to know. I don't want to make a mistake. I want to make sure that I'm a preacher, that whatever I share is the truth of God, not some figment of my imagination or guesswork. And on the 5th day, I just put my Bible down, fell open just like this. Please turn, if you don't have your Bibles, turn to page 853 in the pew. If you do have your Bibles, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 26. And I want to give us a second because this is important. It's why we want to make sure we're constantly never compromising our position, but helping the world know you need to wait on God by doing things His way. Are we there? 8:53? Okay. Ezekiel chapter 26. It flops right open. I look down to verse 19, and it said this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. When I make you a desolate city, like cities no longer inhabited, and when I bring what over you? The ocean depths. I don't think there's another verse in the entire Bible like that. I am the one who brings the water, the ocean, up over the city. We've had something recently happen. So then I said, Lord, why? Why did you bring this judgment? One time it was that whole area was the murder capital of America. At that time, it had 10 abortion clinics in that one area around New Orleans. And what the news never told us was what Katrina stopped within 2 days is what they believe would have been a gathering of 100,000 homosexuals to celebrate like a Sodom and Gomorrah. We've had something recently happen, and I pose this as a thought to you. Texas was recently hit with a hurricane. What was the name of that hurricane? Do you remember? Was it Harvey? Okay. What city did that hit? Not only did that city hit Houston, but it came circling around and did some more damage, right? Isn't it interesting? That now became the greatest hurricane to do the most damage, and that's the only city in America that has a lesbian mayor who ordered all ministers to start turning in their sermons who were fighting transgender and did not believe homosexuality was acceptable. The only city in all of America gets hit with what's the largest. What really worries me is when we read stories like the flood, we know it was the judgment of. When we hear stories about Jonah, where he's running away from God, he doesn't want to, you know, witness to the people in Nineveh, and so he boards a ship, and up comes this tempest of a storm. We have no problems understanding it was the judgment of. But when we have something like this happen, and we see the only city with a lesbian mayor who wanted the ministers to turn their sermons in so they could try and convict them for a hate crime, we never connect the dots as even a possibility. I think we as God's people need to understand God is at work. We need to understand that just as he worked in the Bible and predicted there would be whirlwinds of judgment, that he's doing it again. During this time, there's more to come. It's going to be hard. What should God's people do? Wait on God. Wait on God till you get the direction. Wait on God until he opens up the door. Wait on God. Those who wait on God, like this lady I opened up the sermon with, who was in this overbearing work environment, are the ones who, although had thoughts of quitting, are the ones who find their strength renewed and they mount up with wings like eagles. Parents who have learned to wait on God are the ones who just don't teach faith to their children. They're the ones who help instill faith into their children. And why? Because as they see their parents wait on God and see them blessed by God, it causes them to inherit that faith. Those who have learned to wait on God are the ones whose faith becomes increased with what? Peace. A peace that begins to dominate their spirit. As their peace begins to dominate their spirit, they're the ones that are become more able to hear what? The voice of God. We have too many Christians running around with cluttered emotions of the what-ifs and the fear and that. And they need to say to themselves, if I just wait on God, my God will come through. Those that wait upon God will one day find that just like Noah and their family who missed the judgment of God, that we too, as we wait on God in faith, will one day literally miss the judgment of God that will send many to hell. Oh, he is worthy to wait on. May we do it. Because our days are coming, or our day of standing before Jesus is coming. And those who've waited on him, they're going to find that they're going to be at a wedding feast of the Lamb, eating at a wedding reception table with Jesus and Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Samuel, and on it's going to go. May we wait on God. May we wait on God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, that your word is a rock that we can stand on, though there be a flood of storms around us. That if we build our house on the rock, namely our own temple and our lives, that no matter what comes, we can be among those who will be found in your embrace in the palm of your hand. That we can be among those where instead of like others around us who may be even filled with panic, we'll be filled with peace. Oh God, you're such a good God. You're such a blessing. You're such a provider. You are our strength. You are our Jehovah Jireh, and we praise you for your word. Help us, O God, to stand firmly by waiting on you in every storm. And we thank you, Lord, that as we wait, in part, you're developing our character so that when we finally get to that place where you want us to be, we won't fail. We won't have to be removed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. And in Jesus' name, we praise you. Please stand for our closing song.